the iconic summer series. We are going through the Old Testament, the Jewish Bible of the scripture, and we are picking out the famous, well-known icons. What's an icon? Icon is a symbol. Icon is a logo. Icon is a visual representation of something really important in the Bible. So in the past, we've talked about clothing, right? In the past, we talked about lamb, and today we'll be talking about another icon. But before I do that, let me just bring you up to speed. I'm going to show you some of the well-known icons of our days. So here's the first one. That icon is about what? Very good. Would you wait for me? What is that icon about? Okay, next one, please.
Apple.
How many of you own an Apple? Apple product. iPhone, laptop, MacBook. Okay, all right. Okay. Wait. This one is only for the men, okay? Men, if you know what this icon is about, raise your hand. Senor? Chanel. Well, you are versed, a Renaissance man. That's right. This icon is for Chanel. And all the guys go, what's Chanel? Hang on. The next one is only for, let's show it first. If you are 60 and older, you may say what this icon is about. Anyone above 60 and older, you're not above. You are 60? For sure? Jackie, is your husband telling the truth? Okay, Chris, what's this icon about? PlayStation. Do you own one? No. You just know of it. Okay, all right, okay. The last one. The last one. Let's show it. What's that about? Huh? I heard someone say it. What's this icon about? Well, say it louder so I can hear you.
Insulin.
Somewhat related. You see this everywhere, all the time. Huh? Medicine. Again, related. Related. Huh? This is for hospital. Yeah, you see this everywhere. But here's the question. What do you see? Snake on a pole. And you're going, interesting. I get PlayStation logo, icon, the letter P, letter S. But why do we have a snake on a pole for something that represents healing, well-being, welfare, health? Good question, isn't it? Okay. One theory is, this comes from the Greek mythology. This is the rod of Asclepius, the god of healing. That's one theory. However, today I want to share with you from the Bible, from the book of Numbers, chapter 21, that you will see exact same type of icon, a snake on a pole for healing and deliverance. I suspect, I'm anticipating there will be some questions about the message. So please submit your questions to that number up on the screen. I only ask that you do it at the completion, after the completion of the message later on. Now, I also appreciate the fact that you send in questions, because when we engage in this fashion, I have a second chance at explaining some points better, perhaps, and at the same time, some of you want to ask, but you feel not sure. But when you submit questions, it's not just for your curiosity, but it may benefit others as well. My sermon has 3 points. I'm going to give that to you already. Please use the sermon notes if you like. You can find this in front of you. You have access to it. The problem in the Word of God, the problem in our world, is this observation, this fact. everyone is poisoned with deadly venom. I am poisoned with deadly venom in my soul, and so are you, so are you, so are you. So is every human being on this planet. Everyone is poisoned with venom. So the first point I'm going to say to you is, what's the sickness? The sickness is the poison. And I will share with you the symptoms of the poison heart. Second, the turning point. The turning point. What is the road to recovery? How do we get help and healing? And the last point is the cure. What is the anti-venom, therefore? Pray with me. Heavenly Father, our God and Lord, as we receive your word from your Holy Scripture, we ask the Holy Spirit to open our eyes that we may see Jesus, open our ears that we may hear Jesus, open our hearts that we may conceive Jesus to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So come with me. Come with me to the book of Numbers, chapter 21. Hear the word of the Lord. They, the Israelites, traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'm going to get something for you. Tell me what you see. Do you see a pole? Do you see a bronze snake? Thank you, thank you. That's exactly what they're supposed to be. A bronze snake on a pole. Just like what the Bible says. Okay? This will be our icon for the day, and I am praying that this will be a reminder for what the Holy Spirit is about to impart upon us. So the first, the poison. The symptoms of the poison heart. How do you know if your heart, your soul have been poisoned? What are the symptoms? How can we tell? Go with me. Look at verse 4. This is the poison. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea and to go around Edom. But the people became what? Impatient on the way. And they said to Moses and to God, remember, very important, the Bible says they complained to the Lord and to Moses, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? We're impatient. There's no food, there's no water, and we detest this miserable food called manna." Okay? All right? Okay. So far, so good. Are we tracking? Now, for that, the Lord, whom we thought was the good Lord, loving, kind, compassionate Father in heaven, what does he do? He sends snakes, venomous snakes. In the Hebrew word, it's literally fiery, fiery snakes. Not the snakes were on fire, but when you are bitten by the snake, you feel you're on fire because you are dying. You're dying of the venom. Question, objection. That sounds a little harsh, doesn't it? They were impatient on the way, and they complain about the food. And for that, the Lord sends venomous, fiery snakes, and they are bitten and they die. Objection, Lord, Your Honor. Sounds really harsh. The punishment doesn't correspond to the sin. Am I the only person? Hey, look. Bible 101. When you come to the Bible, when you read the Word of God, and you go, that's strange. Look, a disciple of Jesus is not measured by the questions she asks. A disciple of Christ is measured by, sorry, I butchered that. A disciple of Jesus is not measured by the answers they give, but by the questions they ask. You ask into the Bible these questions. Something is not right. God is good. God is generous. He's kind. He's compassionate. So it doesn't make sense. I mean, can you imagine? You're on a road trip with your family, okay? And you complain to Daddy. Daddy, are we there yet? We're so impatient. And you complain to your mama. Mama, we hate that lunch you prepared. And for that, they bring snakes to you and bite. No, you can't. So what's going on? What's going on? You ask these questions. Well, let me take some time. In order for us to know the answers to these questions, the symptoms, why is the poison such a deadly sin? Okay, look. The five books of the Bible. Okay, let's put this on slide, okay? Say after me, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And the text today is from what book? Numbers. Now, the Hebrew word for the book of Numbers, the title, is in actuality, in Hebrew, in the wilderness. It's a better title than Numbers. In the wilderness. What happened in the wilderness? So look up here. Genesis, God creates the world. He makes everything good. But because of the sin that entered the Garden of Eden, the humanity has fallen. Got it? What's the next book?
Exodus.
The people of God, Israelites, they are in bondage in the land of slavery in Egypt, and God sends whom? Moses to bring them out. Okay? So they are en route to the promised land. I will take you to the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So they're on their way. That's Leviticus and the Numbers. So Numbers is all about what happened in the wilderness as they travel from Egypt to the promised land. So that's Numbers. And the fifth book is called Deuteronomy. Now they have entered the promised land and they are recapitulating God's covenant. So we're going to talk about Numbers. So Numbers is in the wilderness. So they were impatient on the way. That's not a good translation. I really appreciate all the Bibles in different translations. Translating the Bible is a hard job. But when you have a question about certain parts of the Bible and you go to different translations, you know what you're going to find? Oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes, different translations have different words. You know why that's so? That is so because the lexical range of the original word in Hebrew is so rich, so deep, there is no corresponding one English word. And that's why different translations have different words for that, right? So this is one of those. So it's not impatient on the way saying, Daddy, are we there yet? Impatient as in there's something else going on. There's a thing by the thing. Okay? So when they said, Moses, Lord, why did you bring us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no food, there's no water, and we detest. It's not like we don't like broccoli. We loathe. We are vexed. That's a good word. We are vexed. We despise this food called manna you give to us. Question. Objection. Another question. They said, we have no food. Is that true? I thought the Lord, good Lord, sent food every day, every morning, every night. He sent quails for meat and protein, and he sent manna every day. So what do you mean there's no food? Question. There was no water? There was water every day. Remember, the Lord said, hey, Moses, take your staff and speak to the rock, and the rock will give forth water. So every day, the good Lord provided meat, protein, carbs, manna, good food, and water every day. So what do they mean? There is no food and there's no water. May I explain? Would you like to know? Here's my take on that. What it means is, you gave us food, Lord, but we don't like it. You gave us water, but we want something different. Listen to me. The people of Israel in the wilderness, they were never satisfied with God. That's it. They were never content with God. Because the poison in the heart, the poison in the soul, is they were looking to things from God. And that's why they were never satisfied with the things God provided. Are we tracking? They were never content with God Himself. They're always looking for things from God. And that's why their hearts were never content. That's why they were never satisfied with what the Lord provided. Because they weren't fixing their eyes on the person of God. They were after the blessings and the things from the Lord. And hence, it never satisfied. May I illustrate? Uncle Bob. Okay, Uncle Bob had this one of those really distinguished looking mustaches. You know what I'm talking about? Really cool. One day, Uncle Bob went upstairs. He took a nap. While he was taking the nap, the nephews and the nieces came up and they put goat cheese on his mustache. Can you picture it? And Uncle Bob wakes up and he goes, wow, this bedroom stinks. He goes downstairs. He goes, the living room stinks. And he goes outside on the porch standing. He goes, why? The whole world stinks. What's the point? It's not the living room. It's not the bedroom. It's not the porch. What's the problem? The problem is Uncle Bob. Wherever you are, there you are. God may provide all the good things, but you will never be content because the problem is not what He provides. The problem is that you will never be satisfied with God Himself. Question. Do you catch yourself, honestly, be honest, today, with all the stuff going on in your life, unemployment, lacking money, or not having a relationship, not having the love of your life, or you are going through sickness, cancer, and your children are just going, running amok, all this thing. Can you truly honestly say, Father in heaven, I am satisfied in you. Father in heaven, I am content with you. My life is a mess, but I can truly say, I am satisfied in you, you alone. If you can't, maybe you are not dying of the poison, but you have venom in you. I'm preaching to the choir myself. Every day, I need to recognize that and do something about it. Here's a good slide. Please write these words in your sermon outline. Israel has been delivered from the bondage of slavery, right? The Lord set them free from Egypt. However, yet she has not entered the promised land because they are still in the wilderness in the book of Numbers, right? Okay. And in the wilderness, God is testing Israel, God is testing her to know what's in her heart. You follow? Okay. Left Egypt on the way to the promised land, but in the wilderness, God is testing Israel. Do you really love me? Do you really trust me? Am I enough for me? Or are you just after my own things? What does it mean for you and me? Write these words. You have been saved from the bondage of sin. We're no longer in Egypt. Yet you have not entered the promised land, heaven. And therefore, in the wilderness, in this life, right now today, God is testing you to know what is in your heart. Are you content with the Lord because you love Him, period? Are you content with the Lord, satisfied with God the Father in heaven because not what He provides for you, but because of who He is, that He is worthy of your love, He is worthy of your trust, that He is worthy of your worship? Before I move on to the next point, let me ask this. To the friends here and online, whom I call seekers, they are drawn to Jesus, they are drawn to Mosaic House Church, they're drawn to God, but they are not yet what we call Christians. They have not submitted to the Lordship of Jesus. They have not confessed their sins, but yet they're drawn. Hey, friends, listen. I know you're listening. You are poison in your spirit because nothing satisfies you in this life. Nothing, and nothing will satisfy. And because only Jesus can fill that hole. Only Jesus can satisfy your hunger, and only He can quench your thirst. Come to Jesus. And that's why you are here. Let me speak to my friends who are believers already. Friends, you left Egypt. You've been forgiven of your sins. But you have not entered the promised land yet, heaven. In the meantime, if you are experiencing wilderness, consider God the Father is testing you to reveal to you, to yourself, what's in your heart. Do you love God? Simply you love Him. Or you are discontent because you are waiting, wanting things from Him. Number two. Well, then what's the turning point? If we are all poisoned and the venom is in our spirit and soul, what is the turning point? The road to recovery and the healing? Read verse 6 with me. Listen. Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people and many Israelites died. And the people came to Moses. Sorry. Yeah, that's right. Then people came to Moses and said, what did they say? We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us. So Moses prayed for the people. I call this coming to your senses. I call this recognizing that you have been poisoned, recognizing that you are dying of the venom, recognizing that this is your own doing. When the people came to Moses, did they explain things away? No, they didn't. When people came to Moses and before the Lord, did they justify their actions? Well, we didn't really mean that. No, they were honest, true, authentic. They said, we sinned. We sinned against you, O Lord. When we spoke against you, we recognize we've been wanting things from you and we fell short of loving you for who you are. I'm going to call this repentance. Here's a simple definition of the doctrine of repentance. It means to turn around. That's what exact word means in Greek, to turn around. So I was on my sabbatical this summer, and one of the things that I did was I went on a motorbike excursion, right? Yeah. Now, there were three bikers, Frank, Jim, and Victor. We all ride different bikes, and we all ride in different biking styles, okay? So we just take turns as to who's leading. One day, it's Frank. Another day, it's James. Another day, it's Victor. On this day, as I was the lead biker, and I forget where we were going, okay? I think we're supposed to go to Osoyoos. I was supposed to lead and take us down south. But you know what I did? You know what I did? I got lost. Instead of going south, I took a wrong turn and went west. And we ended up on the west coast. Slight exaggeration. And so what did I do? Being a confident man that I am, I stopped the bike and I said, pardon me, sir, I'm lost. Could you point me to the right direction? No, I just kept on riding. Until Frank rode up to me and said, ink, ink, honk, honk, we're going the wrong way. So what did I do? What did I do? I repented. How? We got off the ramp, turned around. That's what repentance is. You're going the wrong way, and you turn around, and you head for the right direction. That's repentance, and that's what they did, and that's what we ought to do. And how do we do it? We just call the spade a spade. Father in heaven, I have sinned. I have not loved you for who you are, and that's why I am so unsatisfied. I repent. That's what we do. Furthermore, when the Lord keeps you in the wilderness, when you go through the snake bites, listen, don't think of it as a punishment. It's not a punishment. To the contrary, it's an act of grace. And you go, what? Act of grace? Listen, when they sinned, God could have sent a lightning bolt. Could he have not? He could. When they sinned, he could have caused the earth to open its mouth and swallow them up. He could have, right? In which case, they would have died instantaneously. I asked the question, so why the snake? Why the snake bites? Would you like to know? I have a response. It's a guess. I think it's a good guess. Why didn't God just strike them dead instantaneously, but instead gave them this slow, prolonged death? The reason? He is giving them chance to repent. They didn't die immediately. Has anyone been bitten by a snake? It's a slow process. You don't die immediately, even with the most venomous snake bites. It takes minutes, if not hours. And what is the grace here? God is saying, recognize you are dying of the poison. Recognize of your sin and call upon me. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, as a father disciplines his children, the Lord disciplines those whom he loves. If God sent you into the wilderness today, it's because he's disciplining you, and he's disciplining you because he loves you. He wants you to turn around. Third, the cure, the anti-venom. Look at verse 8. The Lord said to Moses, make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. Question. I have so many questions about the text. So the Lord says, put a snake on a pole. A sign of deliverance, huh? An icon of salvation, huh? An image of healing, yeah? But why the snake? I don't get it. Why the snake? When Pastor Jeremiah said about the icon of clothing, it's like you wear the clothing of Jesus' righteousness. I get it. When Pastor Ann talked about the lamb sacrifice, the Lamb of God, look at the Lamb of God and live. The lamb who takes, I get it. But why the snake? The snake in the Bible, is it a good thing or a bad thing? It's a bad thing. It's an awful thing. There's no good thing about snake in the Bible except Numbers 21. Satan is represented in the form of the serpent. And when you look up the Bible, every passage about the snake is nothing good. It's evil, except in Numbers 21. So help me with this. Why the snake as the icon for salvation? Would you like to know? Thank you, Erica. The answer is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, okay? Which, by the way, is the theme and the goal of the message. I invite you to read it with me. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Do you find something strange about this? People on live stream, do you find anything strange about this? Do you see what I see? God made Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, his own Son, who had no sin, who knew no sin. He made him what? What? If the Bible said God made him to take on himself the sins of Victor, that makes sense. If the Bible says God put the poison of Walters into Jesus, but it says God made him sin. What does that mean? Christ became sin. Good question. I searched, I studied, I intently looked to the Bible and other sources, and would you like to know what I found out? Yes. Nothing. I don't know what it means, really. Meaning, I can understand what it means, but I can't fully comprehend it. I'll tell you what I do know with certainty. I don't know the full meaning of it, because what does it mean? Jesus became sin. Number one, we know he was sinless. Amen. Jesus Christ was sinless. Number two, Christ was not sinful. He was perfect. He was God, holy, divine. He never sinned. He was never sinful. He never fell into the temptation. So he was not a sinner nor sinful. But then he says what? God made him who had no sin, who knew no sin, sin. He became sin. What does that mean? I'm going to give you my guess. The reason the icon is snake is icon has to be visible. Got it? Okay? It has to be visible. Hence the word icon, symbol, logo, right? It's about poison. But you can't put poison as an icon. So replace this snake with the sin of poison. All right? And the way God saved me and you is this. Jesus Christ, he sucked out all the venom in my heart. He sucked out all the poison in your soul. He sucked out the poison of the entire humanity in such a way that he was filled with poison. And that's how he saved me and you, by taking the poison upon himself. And that's how I understand God made him to be sin, so that we may become the righteousness of God. Let's end with three applications. Number one, crawl. Those of you, this is your day of salvation. This is the day on which you look to the snake and you live. Verse Isaiah 45, the Lord says to you, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Imagine, we're in chapter 21 in Numbers. We've been bitten by the venomous snakes and we are dying. We can't move. We are paralyzed. Got it? That actually happens when you are snake bitten. You can't move. God didn't say, anyone who crawls to the pole and touch the pole will live. Well then, I can't do that. I can't crawl there and touch the snake. But what does God say? Just look. Victor, can you blink? Yes, I can. Then just look. Then you will live. As if anyone can look. We are all dying of poison. And you are not saved by your education. You're not saved by your employment. You're not saved by anything that you do. It's not by your works. It's by faith. When you believe, Jesus took my poison. Just look at him. Look at him and say, Lord Jesus, I receive your antivenom. It's faith. It's not works. Just look. Is that you? Today is the day of your salvation. Number two. Walk. Let's read this together. This is for us, for the believers. I don't know any believer, any Christian, to whom this does not apply. Let's read it together. You have been saved from the bondage of sin, yet you have not entered the promised land, heaven. And in the wilderness, God is testing you to know what is in your heart. Has it been a tough time in the wilderness? God is not punishing you. He's showing that he loves you. He's revealing what's in your heart. You will never be satisfied in the Lord until He is all you've got. You don't know who Jesus is until Jesus is all you've got. Come to your senses. The sooner you do it, the sooner you enter the promised land. Last one. Run. Let's run. Share your story with one person. Share your story of salvation. Share the story of the snake with somebody this week. Somebody, just one person. In your house church, great. Your friend, great. Your neighbor, great. Just tell someone how you have received the antivenom and that they too may share in your joy as well. Let's conclude by reading the theme and the goal together in one voice. Everyone in live stream, I know it's hard to participate because I've been there all summer long. I've joined you via live stream. It takes effort. So let's read it together. The theme and, yeah, okay, let's read it. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Father in heaven, our God and Lord, we come before you. Friends, I sense the Lord wants to give you some time, in this space, in your heart. Would you say to him how you will respond to his grace? Lord Jesus, this is why we love you. Lord Jesus, this is why we find you so, so attractive, so satisfying. Not only did you save us, but we recognize the extent to which you went to save us. You became sin. You became the poison itself to remove it from all of us. Oh, we love you so. We love you so. We trust you. We will serve you. In the name of Christ, amen.